For ranchers in the United States, a case of mad cow disease discovered a year ago has turned out to be little more than an inconvenience. In fact, strong consumer demand and high beef prices combined to make 2004 one of the most profitable years ever for U.S. cattlemen. In Canada, it's a different story. After the discovery of mad cow disease there in 2003, the U.S. closed its border to Canadian cattle. The move has cost Canadian producers more than $5 billion. The USDA says it plans to reopen the border in March, but in the western province of Alberta, in the heart of Canadian cattle country, feelings run high. NPR's Greg Allen reports.
Just north of Montana, Alberta is a nearly ideal place to raise cattle. There's lots of grass and barley for feed. Warm Chinook winds keep the winters from being too severe, and it's conveniently close to the world's largest beef market. Before May of 2003, when the first case of mad cow disease was discovered here, 6 out of every 10 cattle produced in Canada ended up on U.S. dinner plates. At the Baylog auction here in Lethbridge, 1,200 head of cattle are being herded through pens toward the sale floor. Baylog's is just 50 miles north of the border in the heart of what the locals call Feedlot Alley. Within a 30-mile radius, nearly a million cattle are being fattened for slaughter. It's an area with strong historic ties to America. It was American cowboys who brought the first cattle here from Texas. Today, some feedlots and the two biggest meatpackers are American-owned. But it's been nearly 2 years since any live Canadian cattle were allowed into the U.S. Auction owner Bob Baylog says to many ranchers that ban feels like a betrayal, especially after the spontaneous support for the U.S. that erupted in Alberta after 9/11.
We held rallies out here where we sang the Star Spangled Banner. We believed in what you did. And we felt after that all had been done that, yes, we're led down the garden path. And, yes, they're not paying attention to us. And, yes, what is this 100-year relationship or 130-year relationship? They're selling us down the road.
It's mostly calves, heifers, and young steers for sale at this auction today. Prices aren't bad, lower than in the U.S., but the highest here since the border closed. Although live cattle can't be exported, Canada is allowed to sell the U.S. boxed boneless beef from cattle under 30 months old. That's helped spur the market in young animals. Loyal Orkin ranches in Elk River, right across the border from Montana, and says he sometimes has to go across the border, just a 3-wire fence, to retrieve strays. He sold 50 heifers today. Sitting in the auction's cafe afterwards, Orkin says even though prices are improving for young cattle, he and other ranchers still have a big problem.
It's the older cows. Anything over 30 months, or if you bring a bull in, it's 13 to 20 cents a pound for bulls. You know, now that hurts. When we used to get 40 to 60 cents, cows are about the same. I'd say 20% of my money's older cows, you know.
Mad cow disease only shows up in older cattle. Alberta ranchers have some 800,000 cows over 30 months, too old to export under current rules and now worth only a small fraction of what it cost to raise them. Recently, Alberta's top official raised a fuss when he said the industry and the government might consider a call, a mass slaughter that would show the world Canada was serious about controlling mad cow disease. Cattlemen consider a cull a last resort, but one Canada will have to consider if the U.S. does not open the border on March 7th as planned. Until the appearance of mad cow disease, first here in Canada and then in the U.S., the beef industries in the two countries operated as one. But in Canada now, that's likely to change. Rick Pascal is one of Alberta's biggest feedlot owners, with 150,000 head of cattle. He's prospered on his nation's close ties with the American beef market. But Pascal says Canada's cattle industry has to become less dependent on the U.S. market.
We can't live through this 20 months of hell that we live through here, wondering if we're going to be able to access the United States market in regards to live cattle. You know, this arbitrary decision that has been in place by the USDA to not take the live cattle is going to cost the American industry.
Currently, there are plans for more than a dozen new packing plants in Alberta. Plants that Pascal says will move hundreds of American jobs north of the border. Even government and cattle industry officials agree that changes are needed to make Canadian ranchers less dependent on the U.S. There's a push, for example, to build export markets for beef outside of the U.S. At his office in Calgary, Arno Dirksen with Alberta Beef Producers says the industry is running short of time.
As we delay getting back to normalizing trade, then other opportunities for Canada start to emerge, and certainly as we increase our processing capacity, those other markets become pretty feasible for us. And I think there's no doubt, even as a result of what's happened, that Canada will be taking a more aggressive stance in those markets.
Dirksen's group believes, though, that Canada's cattle industry will do best by continuing to build close ties with U.S. producers and processors. Rancher Cam Osterkamp sees it differently.
I compare it to the sparrow eating behind the horse. And occasionally, you get too close to the where everything falls. We in Canada have got to screw up our courage to make the changes that are needed.
Osterkamp raises a few hundred head of cattle on a small ranch here in Blackie, about 60 miles south of Calgary. From his pasture, the Canadian Rockies are an impressive sight in the distance. Osterkamp says the border closing cost him $140,000 in 2003. That convinced him that Canada's cattle industry needs to make some changes, and he says he didn't see leadership coming from either the government or industry groups. He and some other ranchers formed the Beef Initiative Group, an organization pressuring the government to help Canadian ranchers build their own packing plants. His group also wants the government here to allow processors to test beef for mad cow disease for customers, such as the Japanese, who insist on it. Osterkamp says he's been accused of being a radical, but he's anything but that.
I built this entire operation as my life's career. How the hell is my family going to carry on this operation living under the vulnerable state that this cattle industry is in? I'm not radical. I'm absolutely realistic.
Like many here in Canada, Osterkamp is skeptical the U.S. will actually allow Canadian cattle into the country on March 7th as planned. Canadians say they've heard those promises before, and each time the border has remained closed. But one thing is clear. Whenever it does open, Canadian ranchers say a lesson has been learned, and they won't go back to the old way of doing business. Greg Allen, NPR News.
You can view pictures of Canadian ranch lands at npr.org.